Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now, so if you can make your way to your seats. While you're on your way to your seats, we just want to welcome all of our guests here. If you're a first-time guest to Calvary Gospel Church, we just are so thankful that you're here. We have a kiosk in the back that you could visit, and we'd like to get a couple points of information if you're a guest, and we have a small gift for you. And so if you're visiting online, you can follow that bit.ly link there on your screen, /connect to CG, and that kind of does the same thing. And so we're just thankful for your presence here, and we just hope you feel like this is a family that you'd like to be a part of. And we're just glad you're here. Amen. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for the service, and God have his way in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're about to do today, God. We ask you, God, that you will touch, Lord, all those who are sick in body today, all those who have special needs, all those who are in need of any type of financial healing or financial blessings, physical healing, God, spiritual healing, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, today that they would find some answers, oh God, and some solutions, Lord God, for the things in their life that are causing them pain or distress, oh God. We ask you, God, that anyone's here tonight, today as a visitor, God, that you would speak to their hearts and their minds, oh God. Help them, oh God, to understand more about you today, Lord, as we all endeavor to seek your face today, to worship you and to honor you, God, for all that you do in our lives, God. We just thank you, God, for moving in our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We want to talk to you a little bit about some giving options here at Calvary Gospel Church. If you could put that screen up. There's four ways to give. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can give in person by dropping off your offering in the box at the kiosk that's in the foyer. You can also give by mail if you want to send your tithes or your offerings to 5301 Commercial Avenue. We can receive it that way. Or probably the most popular form of giving now is on our mobile app. You can give on the app, Church Center in Google Play or the Apple Store. You can find Church Center, and then you can just enter in your information. If you have any issues with getting on the app, or you have never done it, or you've never taking the time to install it, we encourage you to do that, because this is how we communicate to all of our church groups and different ministries and other things like that. And you can see one of our pastoral staff if you need some help with that. We have some announcements that we'd like to make. First of all, this evening there's a men's service. Woohoo! Brother Nathan Neeson will be speaking to us, and Brother Kevin Brown. And so it's going to be a great time. We have been announcing it to start at 6 p.m., but we're actually going to bump that to 6:30. And the reason for that is the ladies have a meeting today, and it's probably going to go overlap, and there may be some kids that need to move from mom to dad or dad to mom. And so we're just going to bump it to 6:30 to try to have a little extra space and time for those that want to attend. The wife and a husband might want to attend both today. And so we'll see you there tonight. I'd like to make mention that Kate Rivas and Roman George will be at the men's meeting tonight, and they're going to be giving a small presentation on their AYC trip, and we're going to try to raise some money. So, men, bring a little cash. We're gonna raise some money for their trip and help them out. Amen. So that's going to be great. And so, we also, at this time, we have a Save Our Children promo video we'd like to show you.
Save Our Children is the vehicle that drives the vision of children's ministry here in Wisconsin. Last year, we raised together over $59,000. What an amazing testament to your giving. With those dollars, we've been able to do some amazing things. At junior camp alone, we had over 300 souls on the campground. 19 of those souls received the Holy Ghost. Again, I'm so thankful that we have the means to provide those opportunities for our kids. We had our first ever children's ministry seminar where we had 88 people registered, just under 100. We're hoping to break that mark this year. As far as junior Bible quizzing is concerned, we had 38 teams signed up. At our final meet, we had a church service where, for the first time in the state of Wisconsin, at a Bible quiz meet, a young person received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These are just a few things that we're trying to do here in Wisconsin, and with your help, we believe that we can do more. With your help, we believe that we can exceed expectation and we can operate with excellence. We're hoping to raise $60,000 this year, and with your help, I believe, again, that we will accomplish that goal. We aim to continue to make you proud in the Children's Ministry Department. God bless you, and thank you for your giving.
So a portion of the children's, or Save Our Children's offering, it goes to our national children's ministry efforts. And a portion goes to statewide efforts like our junior camp, as mentioned in the video. This effort goes through the end of the month here. And so we'd ask you to just indicate Save Our Children on the giving envelopes or when you give online. And that'll help us to put the money in the right places. Let's all stand. We're going to go into our time of worship, prayer, praise and worship. And would you just mind just giving a little extra today to the Lord? Just pour it out before the God as an offering unto the Lord. Would you just lift your hands? Why don't we just begin right now, just with our hands lifted, our hands raised, and offer up something to the Lord right now in praise and worship.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Praise God. Everyone say praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is 120 years old, and he said, hey, I'm not going in the promised land with you, but you're not going to be alone. God's going to go before you. God made a promise to Abraham. I'm going to make a great nation. God made a promise to Joshua. Jericho will come down. And listen, church, God made a promise to you. He will never leave you. In fact, the thing that stood out to me in Deuteronomy 31:8 is this. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And in our mundane, our rituals that we go through, even when we come to church, look, God gave you a promise. Amen. God gave you a promise. He is here. He will be with you. David said, even though I make my bed in hell, lo, he is there with me. God cares about each one of you. He's given you a promise. Hold to that promise. Praise God. Worship the Lord as we sing. Ooh, promises. We're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't fail. Promises. Oh, we're standing on His promises. In Him we have a confidence. He won't
on His promises. In Him we have. your name, it's something we cannot explain that happens when we proclaim your great name, your great name.
We love to call your name, it's something we cannot explain.
It happens. Jesus, for every promise, for every battle, Jesus.
Yeah.
upon your people, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, God, hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. We ask in faith, Jesus, we ask for healing. Specifically right now, Jesus, I pray for anxiety, God. Your people, God, we're moving forward, God. So right now, we bind anxiety in Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lamb, God, I speak peace. I speak peace into the hearts and minds of your people, God. God, I speak calm, Jesus. Speak, God, that your presence would prevail over anxiety in Jesus' name. We glorify you together, Jesus. We thank you for victory, Jesus. Just sing the chorus one more time. It's your name
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise.
Presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. And it's just so great to feel the presence of God. And got a little less sleep last night. How many of you didn't? You set your clocks back, but you went to bed normal. So, oh, it's been quite an interesting morning. I got here and all of my computer from home is all synced up with the computer here at church, and for some reason my notes didn't sync up. I couldn't get them to sync up, and I went home and everything was right there. So I missed the first session, Brother Jerry, because I was between here and there trying to get ready for now. We're going to be talking on anxiety, so I was a little bit of a test this morning. You can be seated. So we've been talking about pressing on the battle for the mind. And this is a series we've been in, and our verse of scripture that we have selected for this series is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading this from the English Standard Version today. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, we pose this question in every one of our series messages so far. What if you are not able or have the ability to possess the mental strength to ask us this very critical question: how can I discern, or how can I know what God's plan or will is for my life if I can't get there from where I'm at? And we see this in our world today. In looking at the news, I would not consider myself a news junkie, but I like to be informed. And one of the things that just keeps coming up over and over and over and over again in some of the news feeds is the high level of stress that is on not just our U.S. American society, but on the world as a whole. People are their stress levels are skyrocketing, and we have wars and rumors of wars, and we have sickness, and we have disease, and we have earthquakes, and we have floods, and we have volcanoes, and we have financial crisis, we have marriage crisis, we have family crisis, we have all kinds of issues that are going on in our world today. And we look at this scripture as Paul challenges us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may test and discern what is the will of God. Excuse me. I am struggling here. Not with anxiety. So what if fear has a grip on your life? What if you are afraid? My wife and I, just this past Saturday, I got in the mail, and it comes once a quarter, and it's our taxes, not our taxes, but our retirement portfolio that we have invested in, a 401k, and many of you have invested over the years. And I opened it up, and I looked at it, and then to my dismay, as I begin to look at where it was a year ago and where it is now, and I'm like, man, I'm going to have to work till I'm 105. And you can look at that. And your anxiety levels, because all of that work, you lose more money in 1 year than it takes you 4 or 5 years to earn. And people all over the country, all over the world, are facing the very same fear. What if fear has a grip on my life? What if anxiety? See, what happens is fear, anxiety, and depression are a three-corded, the scripture talks about a three-corded rope is powerful and strong. But you can have a three-corded rope that is not based on godly principles and biblical principles. So you can have fear and anxiety and depression that take and form a three-corded rope to bind you up. And you can read and you can pray and you can seek God, and you can't seem to be able to break that free. So we're going to take and we're going to dive into this today. We're going to start it today and we're going to finish it on Wednesday evening. So make sure that you are here Wednesday evening for the conclusion of this, because this is a very good biblically principle-based scriptural study on how to deal with fear, anxiety, and depression, and how it gets a hold of our thinking process. We're going to dive in at least as deep as I am comfortable with going. I am not a medical doctor. I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And I'm approaching this not from a secular ideology, but as a Christian who struggles with his or her mental health issues. Paul, as he writes to his young mentor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he challenges Timothy, says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called." Now, I have heard this scripture sometimes used as a motivating tool for people who are struggling with various issues in their life. I've heard it for people that are struggling with anxiety and fear and depression to fight a good fight. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep fighting. And I've heard it preached that life is a constant spiritual battle. And I've even stated this myself, that as a Christian, whether you want to be or not, you are in a spiritual battle. Doesn't matter if you want to be in it. Doesn't matter if you choose not to be in it. You're in it. And the devil is looking to win it. So you have to look, but whether we want to be or not, we need to stay alert and motivated so that the enemy doesn't destroy our lives. Now we have to understand that other times I've heard this used to fight. I've heard this preached at ministers' conferences where ministers come in and they're kind of beat up a little bit because they've struggled with various issues within their congregations and maybe their personal lives, and the visiting evangelist gets up and he starts talking about fighting and he goes through all of the weapons of our warfare. And I've talked with some ministers after and said, I appreciate the fact that he wants to cheer us up. I appreciate the fact that he's encouraging us to fight. But what if you don't have the tools? What if you don't know how to use perhaps what you have? And we must understand that being in a constant state of spiritual fighting or a constant state of spiritual warfare, as it's often called, can create more weakness and more exhaustion in us if we are not careful to properly maintain ourselves as a Christian. The context of this warning, fight to keep the enemy at bay, or a personal breakthrough can delicately associate depression and anxiety related stressors as a sign of defeat or losing to the enemy. When the preacher gets up and says, don't you dare bend a knee to the enemy, and he's been beating you over the head all week, and you've been laying down on the floor, and you've been weeping and crying, and you can feel that enemy just pushing and breathing down your neck. That's why Paul, when he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, wrestle is a very up-close and personal type of a fight. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to feel his breath on your neck. He doesn't want to shoot you off and pick you off at 500 yards away. He wants to get right up and close and personal so you know who's causing you this anxiety and depression and this stress that you're feeling. I have seen this lead people to wrestle with judgmental self-examination or scrutinizing from others on why are you always losing the fight. I've been around long enough to hear, come on, brother, get up, pick yourself up. Pick yourself up, get back in the fight. And you're thinking to yourself, perhaps I have no more fight left in me. I need something more than just an encouraging word today. I need some divine intervention. The question often points is, well, how's your time with the Lord? I've had this asked of me and over my life. Well, are you praying? How's your prayer life? Now, these are certainly important things, and they're an important part of the process of living and overcoming a victorious life and overcoming fear, depression, and anxiety. But is there anything in your life that you need to get right with God? And in the end, it's spiritual disciplines. It's a spiritual disciplines problem, and the blame is on the particular individual that's struggling from depression and fear and anxiety for not fighting or doing enough to break free. It's oftentimes implied that, you know, if you do your part, God will do his part. Maybe we've even perhaps told a brother or sister, well, you know, if you do your part, God will do his part. And they've prayed and prayed until there are no more tears will come. And they're frustrated. And they're running out of answers because they're not finding it. Now, understand something. God created us a very specific way. When God created humanity, I'm sorry, I do not believe that we just evolved into this. Okay? There was an incredible, intelligent design that went into humanity. And then God finished it off with breathing upon Adam. And Adam became a living soul. And when I look at this, I've done a little bit of research on this, and I've called some of our medical folks in the congregation to help me with some of the correct spelling and pronunciation, because I am not a doctor. When the doctor gets in and starts explaining various medical terms to me, I'm just like, yep, right over my head. You got to draw me a picture. Show me what you're talking about, because I have no idea. I didn't even know this part in my brain existed. Never heard of it before. How many of you have ever heard of your amygdala? Oh. Does anybody know what it does? Oh, we got it. That's because that's cheating. You had medical. You're like a long-term nurse studying the brain and working with people's brain issues. So we're going to have to disqualify Sister Linda Carter this morning. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you know how big it is? An almond. You're reading the same Wikipedia I'm reading. Yeah, come on now. She's been to nursing school. She's exactly right. It's called the amygdala. And it's located in the medial temporal lobes of our brains, and it's what helps control our emotions. And it's about the size of a walnut. We have two of them, one in each lobe of our brain, the left and the right lobes. And those people that struggle with depression or anxiety issues, this portion, this little almond-sized piece of our brains becomes, it's a constant, in a constant overactive state. People say, well, I have an overactive thyroid or an underactive thyroid. And understand that there are issues sometimes that happen to us that cause parts of our brains, for whatever reason, to malfunction. So this disrupts the brain's ability to process thoughts and balance our moods. Sometimes we run into people that are like constantly in a state of anger. And you wonder, what is wrong with this person? Well, maybe they have an overactive or an underactive amygdala. Maybe there's something wrong inside of them and things are not functioning as they should function. So when we look at this little portion of our brain, when it's overactive, it puts our bodies and our minds into a threat mode. Have you ever taken and gone up to a gas station and maybe something happened at the gas station and all of a sudden perhaps you get approached by someone and the situation kind of gets out of hand a little bit, or in a shopping mall or in a grocery line, and immediately you can feel something inside of you. We call it adrenaline. Your adrenaline level begins. Maybe you're out hunting, and some of you guys can relate to this, and you pull the trigger, and that big, huge 30, 40 point buck falls down in the woods. And your heart, if you feel like the deer could probably hear your heart beating, because your amygdala is being flooded with brains from the chemical, and all of a sudden you're in this. Different. I think that's what happened to the Incredible Hulk. I think maybe he had an overactive amygdala. But you see, sometimes we look at this and we have to understand that this little portion of our brain puts us into a constant fight, flight, or freeze mode. And that triggering the brain to stay on high alert mode and that your brain is telling you that you're not safe until X, Y, and Z takes place. And as a Christian, sometimes we feel that we're not safe until God does this, and then this, and then this. And that depression or anxiety continues making our faith more frustrating and exhausting to us. And some of our brothers and sisters are fighting with all their spiritual disciplines or behavior that they can as best as they can, and they can't get to a breakthrough because the enemy has got inside of their minds and is causing them to be in a constant state of fight, flight, or freeze. Now the question is this problem often comes when the depression or the anxiety or the symptoms, sometimes they're a fleeting symptom, sometimes a situation will happen that will trigger our anxiety. This is a natural process. God set it up this way so when we would see a grizzly bear on a hiking trail, we wouldn't try to go up and feed him a Girl Scout cookie. That's just so simple and basic. But God put this in us as an act of self-preservation because he knew at some point in time that man was going to be placed and the environment that he placed him in the garden was going to become increasingly hostile as sin increased in the world. So God put this in us. And sometimes what God put in us, how many of you have ever had ankle problems? Anybody have knee problems? Anybody ever have back problems? Anybody have heart problems? Anybody have amygdala problems? Okay, so now you get what I'm getting at here. Sometimes things don't always work as God designed them to work. So it triggers more depression and triggers more anxiety and exhaustion sets in. And then we want to give up on God. We want to say, well, God, I'm not getting this. So today as we dig deeper into this, what if I simply cannot get past my negative thought patterns? What if I can't get there from here? Understand, with a clear mindset and a healthy mindset, negative thoughts can actually serve as a natural self-preservation filter that keeps us out of harm's way at times. Example of that, a few years ago, we went on a pastor's retreat. And we were at this beautiful, beautiful house on Lake Michigan. Sister Brittany Waters set it all up for us. It was beautiful. And they had all kinds of games and stuff you could play. And it was right on Lake Michigan. And they had this trampoline out in the yard. And I don't know what possessed Pastor Seidel to get out there on that trampoline, and then what possessed me to think I could get out there as well. But we're out there on that trampoline. And we're bouncing up and down. And it's just, you know, just bouncing, like old guy bounce, you know. And then it's like, well, I wonder if you can, like, bounce and then land on your backside and then spring back up to a standing position. So we tried that a few times, and yeah, okay. And you kind of, you know, you're 57, 58 years old, and you feel like you're 14 again. And I don't know if it was his idea or my idea or a combination, but the thought came up and it became verbally expressed is, I wonder if we can do a flip. Well, healthy, sometimes negative thoughts can save you from a lot of pain and suffering. And we both decided at that moment that our minds went from 14 to 60 or 58 or however old we were at that time to, wait a minute here, maybe this isn't something that we should be attempting today. And you see, sometimes it's healthy for us to have negative thoughts and swallow our pride and say, well, maybe next time. Maybe next time we'll let our grandkids do that. Let them show us. You see, it's not an issue of not believing in myself. It's not an issue of not trusting God enough. It's valuable. It's a valuable negative assessment to avoid crashing and blowing out my knee. So there are times when negative thought patterns can save us a great deal of discomfort. But we have to flip over that same coin of negative assessment. And when we sometimes encounter overwhelming stress with ongoing disappointments, pressures, or expectations perhaps that are placed upon us by life, sometimes our negative thinking can end up exhausting our self-esteem, exhausting our confidence, and beating us down in a physical, a mental, emotional, and spiritual way. You see, it's a self-preservation filter on overdrive. And this is when negative thoughts can become unhealthy. The Apostle Paul knew that we all have negative thoughts and circumstances that can distort our true reality and our true identity in Christ. So he encouraged the churches to practice moving from negative thinking to thrive thinking or truth thinking. Whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure and are just and are holy. He tried to move the church in that period because they were facing some of the same stressful things that we're facing today. Some of them were fleeing for their lives. Some of them had lost family. Some of them had lost their businesses. And there was oppression all around. It was not much better then than it is now. So he wrote things like, think on these things, the healthy attributes of life. We find this in Philippians 4:8. In Colossians 1:9 and Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. But the big question is, how do we practically do that? How do we do that? Now, I don't claim to have all the answers to all these questions, but some things that I do know, and we're going to cover these, and we're going to start this on Wednesday night because I don't have enough time today to go through all of this. So we're going to cover this, and I want you, listen, if you're battling the feeling or perception that what I have just talked about might just simply be true, if you're having thoughts in your mind that seems to race out of control, have you ever had a phone call, and before you even answer the call, you let it go to voicemail? And you let it go to voicemail, and before you listen to the voicemail, your mind is already running wide open. Sister Paula's back there laughing at me. That happened to you recently? It could be. Listen, that happens to me. I get a phone call sometimes. Listen, when Bishop Booker calls me, and I see it's, oh no. What did I... He usually doesn't call me just to wish me happy birthday. No, when you look at that, your mind begins to go. And it's racing out of control. But you see, our minds, sometimes we think something that is true and is far from the truth. So we're going to go into this more on Wednesday night. So let's all stand this morning. And we're going to wrap this up real simply. God created us. I believe that when he created humanity, when he created Adam and Eve, that they were as perfect could be. And because of sin, sin brought stress, into the world. Sin brought anxiety into the world. Sin, as a result, depression follows. And man began to find all different kinds of ways to fill and try to fix that problem instead of realizing that maybe it can be a sin issue. I'm not going to rule that out. We're spiritual beings. Sometimes it's a sin issue. Sometimes it's a physical issue. Sometimes it's because things aren't quite in balance in our bodies. And no matter how hard we try, we can't seemingly get there. But we're going to take a little bit of time as we open up this altar this morning. If you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with stress, with depression, I want you to just come up to this, to my right and center portion, this portion of the front. And if I were to ask you to come up, if you have a knee problem and you hobble up here, everybody's going to understand that, well, he's got a knee problem, we're going to pray for it. But you know, when we start talking about mental health issues, anxiety, stress, depression, nobody wants to admit that. Nobody wants to admit it. And we live in a society where that we love to take and just put on different faces. We have losses in our lives, and how's it going? We're making it. Got to be tough. Well, you don't really have to be. You can be vulnerable to God. You can allow God to establish himself. I'm not saying that if you're here and you've experienced any of that and you're not up here that you're being stubborn with God. Only you can answer that question. I don't know that. I don't know what's happening in your amygdala right now. I don't know if it's underactive, overactive, or just it's on pause. I have no idea, but God knows. And maybe, perhaps this morning, you've never received the power of the Holy Ghost. Brothers, just if you guys could just move right over this way. You could do that for me? It's all right. You've done nothing wrong. Just going to move you over just a little bit. There you go. Thank you. So if you've never repented, been filled with the Holy Ghost, never been baptized, I want to give you an opportunity today to experience that. Scripture talks about that we need power and authority in our lives to overcome, especially the age we live in today. Listen, folks, it's not going to get better. They say, well, COVID's gone. Well, there's going to be something else. And it's going to be something else, and it's going to be something else. Because the scripture says things are going to get worse and worse and worse, Brother Rico. And we need help from an almighty, we need help from a supernatural source. We can't fight this, and God didn't expect us to fight it alone. That's why he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can experience that this morning. So I'm going to invite, if you've never received that, just come down where Pastor Jerry is, and we'll help you in that. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar to come on down. We want to pray with you, to help you. Help you. Not hurt, but help. This should be a hospital for the hurting. I want you to come down. I want our worship or our leadership team to come down. Just help us pray this morning. God bless you.
To all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. Surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me, and love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I'm a child of the King.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer a slave.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
very special healing touch of the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I want to encourage you as you leave here. This is not our typical or my typical, I guess you could say, scriptural or preaching series. But it's something I believe that is vitally important for our overall health, the health of our families, the health of our church, the health of our community, and ultimately our world. Our world has reached its breaking point. People don't know where to go to. Sometimes because Scripture tells us that we're not supposed to be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But the world affects us. Its stresses affects us. Its situations affects us. And on Wednesday evening, we're going to get into some very, very positive points on how do you break that. I was talking with Sister Linda Carter. She knew exactly what I was talking about as we were praying. You get yourself in this loop. And it's a loop of stress, depression, and anxiety. And stress, depression, anxiety. And it's a thought loop. And you just keep going in circles. And we're going to talk on Wednesday night and give you some practical, simple, everyday things you can do to break free of that loop. You see, all you have to do in a loop is to make one break, and it's no longer a loop. It's an escape. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be expansive. All you got to do is make that one little break, and you can free yourself. Allow God to free you. This is be here Wednesday night, and let God be God. God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team. Dan, phenomenal job. Sister Brittany, this morning. And we will be back here Wednesday evening. And pray for Janesville. God's will would be done, and we will see you. Have a blessed week.